We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, we'll begin reading at verse 13, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. This is the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Thus far we read God's word. The text tonight is verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The text that we consider tonight is the perfect conclusion to the perfect sermon that Jesus preached, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives to us good instruction concerning his kingdom, concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gives us instruction in the Sermon on the Mount concerning the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The citizens of the kingdom are not known by their outward appearance or by their nationality or race, but instead, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven are known by certain spiritual characteristics. These spiritual characteristics are found in Matthew 5 in those beginning verses which we know as the Beatitudes. The citizens of the kingdom of heaven are those who are poor in spirit. They are those who mourn. They are those who are meek. They are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are those who are merciful. They are the pure in heart. They are those who are peacemakers, and they are those who are persecuted for the sake of their confession of Jesus Christ. This describes spiritually the citizens of the kingdom. Jesus taught as well in the sermon that the essence of His kingdom is righteousness. It's a kingdom of righteousness. The righteousness that you have to be in this kingdom is a righteousness that is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees thought they had it all figured out and that they themselves had the righteousness which was necessary to be part of the kingdom. And Jesus says, no. The righteousness that you need to be in the kingdom is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As citizens of the kingdom, we are citizens because of the righteousness of Christ. But Jesus also tells us that the citizens of the kingdom then live in righteousness, and that righteousness is not something outward only, but that righteousness is something that wells up from a man's heart, a heart that is turned towards God and turned towards Christ. Now, as Jesus gives this good instruction concerning His kingdom, what we consider tonight is the conclusion of His sermon. And in this conclusion of His sermon, He teaches us what true religion is. The question before us in the conclusion of His sermon is this: what is true Christianity? What is the true Christian life in regard to what we heard tonight? What is a true confession of faith? It's not just confessing doctrine and detaching that from life. True Christianity and true religion is not simply something outward. That's what Jesus is making very clear in this conclusion to His sermon. He's uncovering in this part of His sermon what masquerades as true religion. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees believed, that true religion was simply the outward. And Jesus destroys that here in these concluding verses. He does that by using a parable here, really. The parable of a wise builder and a foolish builder. And Jesus uses this very parable to give instruction tonight to us concerning what is true Christianity. The life of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven is this: they live out of Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about the foundation, Jesus Christ. And life, true Christian living, flows out of what we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. How fitting this is that we consider this tonight in relationship to the confessions of faith that we've heard tonight. Although the questions that they answered tonight did not explicitly say it, they were making confession tonight in Jesus Christ. They were making confession of the things that Jesus Christ has done for their souls, as we use that wording of Psalm 66. And they are confessing that they are striving in their lives to live out of Christ. We said tonight that this, our desire is that this would be a springboard for them to growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, to growing in living this Christian life. And that's our prayer. And this is a word as well that is a springboard for all of us to see what is true Christian living, that we live our lives on that solid rock and that solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So we consider this Word of God tonight using the theme, building our lives on the rock. Building our lives on the rock. We look first at the wise building, secondly at the only foundation, and then at the final result. Jesus in the text here is teaching us to build our lives wisely. He's teaching us to build our lives in a right way. And that's the question that faces us tonight. Are we building wisely? Are we building our lives on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ? Jesus is saying here that true Christianity and true religion is this. It is to hear the Word of God and to do the Word of God, to be hearers and doers of His Word. Jesus explains this, as I said a moment ago, with a parable. He uses this parable to teach us truth about His kingdom. The parable set before us is the parable, the story of two builders. It's not a real story. It's not actually something that happened. But Jesus uses something that would commonly happen in that day to give instruction concerning His kingdom. That's a parable. He uses the parable here of a wise builder and a foolish builder. Let's understand tonight, first of all, what these builders have in common. It's not very much, but the idea here of the text is that there are two builders who both build houses in the same vicinity. They build their houses on a fairly dry creek bed. They're very close to each other. And not only that, but these two houses are very similar in appearance. They build their homes on prime riverside property. But the river at this time is but a small creek, maybe almost completely dried up. It's very small. And so they build in that place. What we understand as well, that that river, at the time of the spring rains and the time of flooding, fills up and becomes much larger and bigger at that time. These are the kind of houses that these two men would have built in that day. These houses probably would have been constructed of uncut stones, probably stones that they would find right there in that riverbed. And those stones would be put together and held together by mortar. The roofs of the houses that they built would have been made of grass and earth. So these two houses from the ground up appear very similar. They're in the same vicinity along this riverbed. But that's really where the similarities end. Because the text focuses our attention tonight in the parable upon the differences between these two houses and the two builders of these houses. The difference between these two houses is not evident on the surface. Again, outwardly, these houses appear very similar. But we read in the text that there is a foolish builder. And here's the idea. Here's why this builder was a foolish builder. In his building of his house, he did not consider what might happen in the future. He was only concerned about how his house looked. So what he did is he simply leveled the ground on which he was going to build. He leveled the gravel and the sand, and then he began building right away. He built his house as quickly as he could so that he could move in. Part of the idea probably of the text is he moved into that house so quickly that he could watch the other man continue building his house. It took him much longer. Maybe he was even watching that man. He was still digging through the sand to get down to solid rock. And that man maybe thought, well, that man's so foolish. He's taking so long with the building of his house. And here I am. I can relax and sit at ease in the house that I have built. Well, that's why he could do it so quickly, though. He didn't build a strong foundation. He did not dig down to the rock. He simply built upon the sand and the gravel by that riverbed. But this building was foolish because he had no foresight. At the time that he built, it was the dry season. Of course, he didn't have to worry about the river. But there was the rainy season that would be coming and the flooding that normally happened on that river. But this man paid no attention to that at all. He simply built his house how he wanted it at that moment. You can maybe picture in our own day someone building a house on Lake Michigan up on one of the dunes, but building it right up as close as he could to the edge because he wanted to get the best view, and that's all he cared about, and did not give any consideration at all to the fact that that sand of that dune will move and could be eroded by wind and even by rain and by water. So that over a period of time, that very house that was built on the sand dune and seemed to be safe could, after erosion, fall down that cliff and right into the lake. That's the idea of what this foolish builder did. But in contrast to the foolish builder, Jesus also speaks here in this parable of a wise builder. And this builder was wise because he had foresight. Although it was much work and difficult work, and it took much longer, this man excavated before he began building his house. He dug through the sand. It was not just a thin layer of sand either. He did dig down a ways, is the idea, as we find that recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, a similar passage. He did dig through that sand and that gravel, which was hard work. He had no machinery to do that. He dug it by hand. And then after he got down to solid rock, he began building his house on that rock. And he did so because he knew the storms would come. He knew the wind would blow. And he knew that the only way that his house would survive in that place is if it had a solid foundation. The wise builder was wise because he knew this. He knew that a house is only as strong as its foundation. Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to that. But a house is only as strong as its foundation. That's what the wise builder understood. We have to understand what Jesus here is teaching us in this parable. Understand, first of all, that the building of the house in this parable is the building of one's life. That's evident from the fact that this building here is the building that the citizen of the kingdom does. And there are two kinds of building. There is the one who hears the word and then doesn't follow the word, and the other man hears the word and does the word. It has to do with all of a man's life. Everybody who lives on this earth is building a life. You and I build a life. And that building of a life takes place in everything that we do. It takes place in every thought, every desire, every action, and every decision that we make. As the text speaks to us of the building of this house, the text is speaking to you about your life and the building of your life, which takes place in everything that you do and in all the decisions that you make in your life. And it has to do with every sphere or part of life. The things you do at work and the things that you do at home and the things you do at school, the things you do in your free time, wherever you are and whatever you do. Especially, this sets before us the decisions that we make in our lives and the decisions that young people have to make as they get older and have more responsibility in their lives. Of course, they make these decisions with the help of their parents and the help of grandparents and the help of elders and pastor in the church as well. But there are decisions to be made in your lives, decisions to make about where you'll go to school, decisions to make about who you will hang out with, who will be your friends, a decision to make one day about whom you will marry, a decision to make about your vocation, how you will serve the Lord in the calling that He gives you in this life. These are, of course, some of the big decisions that must be made in life, but it's not limited to that. But there are decisions that we make on a daily basis. What I will watch, what I will listen to, what website I'm going to go to, what I will eat, what I will drink, how much I will drink, what it is that I will do in this situation, how I will talk to my parents, how will I talk to my friends, what language will I use, how will I respond when someone does something against me that I don't like, how will I respond when someone sins against me, all kinds of decisions that we have to make every day in our lives. That's all part of the building of our lives. And understand, as Jesus speaks of that here, Jesus is speaking to the church. He's not making a distinction here between what the world does and what happens within the church. Jesus here is speaking about the church. That's evident from the fact that both the builders that Jesus speaks of here hear the word of Jesus. The text speaks of the sayings of Jesus. What are these sayings? Well, of course, that has to do with the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus preaches here in this sermon about his kingdom. But it's not limited to that. Because the entirety of the Scriptures is the word of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the word of Jesus Christ to his people. And so the idea here is that it's speaking then to those within the church. And within the church, there are some who are foolish builders, and there are others who are wise builders. And the distinction comes in the response that there is to the preaching of the gospel, which is heard. That speaks to us tonight. We hear the preaching of the gospel. We hear that preaching, of course, from the pulpit here. But it's also the word that's brought in the catechism classes. This is the word that we read in our homes. It's the word we read in our personal devotions. It's the word that we read together as families in our family worship. And the question is for us is, how are we going to live out of that? Are we going to live out of that and build our lives on that? Or are we going to ignore that word of God? The point is that within the church, there are wise and foolish builders. And we ask ourselves the question tonight, which is true of me? I have to ask myself that question. You have to ask yourselves that question. And not just all of the time. The point is that even at certain times in our lives, it can be true of us that we're not being wise, but instead we're being foolish builders. So we have to look at that difference tonight. What is it that makes one a foolish builder in contrast to a wise builder? What's the difference? You see, the point of the text here is that we must be wise builders, that we must build our lives on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. But Jesus brings home that instruction. He drives it home by way of contrast, by looking at this foolish builder who takes no thought for what might happen, but builds his home in the parable without a solid foundation. What is a foolish builder? Well, Jesus tells us outright. The foolish builder is the man who hears the word of Jesus Christ, but does not put that word into practice. Doesn't do it. That's what that word do means. Practice. He doesn't put it into practice. He hears the word. He may even confess the truth of that word and say, yes, I love that word and I love that truth, but he doesn't put it into practice. Jesus here, of course, is speaking of a particular group at that time within what was known as the church. He was speaking of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees heard the word of Jesus. They, of course, we know, did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, but they would confess what was said in the Old Testament. They looked at Moses' law and said, yes, we love Moses' law. We love that law, but there's some things we need to add to it. That was the scribes and Pharisees. They really didn't think it went far enough. They didn't go far enough in its standard of righteousness. So they added something to it. Jesus says, that is foolish building to add to the word of God. Now that happens within the church today. That happens within the church today when the church follows after false doctrines and really adds to the word of God. They convince themselves that it is the word of God, and they point out their passages, but that's adding to the word of God. But we should not think that we could not fall into this. It happens in the church this way as well. When it begins to happen that the standard for salvation becomes what I believe and having right doctrine. Right doctrine, of course, is important. Because right doctrine is the truth of the word of God, and that must be believed, but it must not happen that that becomes the standard to determine which man is saved and another is not. Jesus says here, that's false religion. That's building in a foolish way. This is a false religion that Jesus speaks of here, of appearances. There are those who hear the Word of God and they confess the Word of God, but really they live a life of smoke and mirrors. It's all on the surface. What they allow other people to see appears very good, but inwardly there's corruption and darkness in their hearts, and it comes out in different ways in their lives. It comes out when they think others can't hear them, and then the way that they talk to their friends, or the things that they post on Facebook or on their blog or whatever it may be. And then those secret sins, those sins of the heart, what's really in the heart, that becomes exposed and it comes out. They don't live then to glorify and honor Jesus Christ. They're simply there to please people and make them think that they're much better than they actually are. That's the scribes and Pharisees. And that's the false religion that Jesus exposes here. But also this false religion is not thinking about what my decisions will mean for the future. This foolish building of life is making decisions without thinking of the implications for the future. I just deal with the here and now. I follow what I'm feeling. I follow my emotions. And I don't look to the Word of God and base my decisions upon the revealed will of God and Jesus Christ. Jesus says concerning all of that, this is foolishness. To make decisions that are contrary to the Word of God, to live your life contrary to the Word of God, that is a life of foolishness. But the wise builder, the text says, hears the word of Jesus and does what he says. The wise builder is a hearer and a doer of the word. Because the wise builder understands that that word is the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. Essentially, when it comes right down to it, what's the difference between the foolish builder and the wise builder? The wise builder loves the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. And in his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, he confesses the truth of the Word of God and lives that truth in his heart and in his life. The wise builder loves the Lord Jesus with his heart and mind and soul and strength. He understands that true Christianity is not just defining certain doctrines, but it's having a love for the truth and a love for Jesus Christ that's shown in light. Certainly, the wise builder loves the truth because Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. He loves the truth of the Word of God, wants to confess that truth, but also lives out of that truth. The wise builder is a servant of Jesus Christ who says in all of life, what will Jesus have me to do? That governs his life. What will Jesus have me to do? And the decisions that I make, where I go to school, the work that I will do, the friends that I will have, the woman or man that I will marry, in those decisions, he seeks to know the will of Jesus Christ. He seeks to follow the principles of Scripture and follow the truth of his Word. He says, not what I want, but what will Christ have me to do? He doesn't just say, well, yes, I'm going to do this and then sprinkle that with the Word of God and say, yep, see, there's something that I can find that says that this is okay for me to do. No, there's a genuine desire to follow what God says in His Word. And there's making decisions, understanding the ramifications for the future. Thinking that through. That's what Jesus sets before us. This is the wise builder. How are you building your life? Are you wise in that? Are you following Christ and what His Word says? Or are you living for self and following in your own way? Let's understand tonight that the focus here of the text, the focus, is the foundation. When it comes right down to it, in the parable, the main difference that Jesus brings out here is that the wise builder builds on a foundation, and the foolish builder, he builds on an inferior foundation, something that really is not a foundation at all. The text here focuses our attention on the foundation. I make explicit here what I've made implicit earlier. We have to look at the foundation. The foolish man, he builds his house on the sand. And of course, what happens when the storm comes is that that sand washes away. We all know what happens to sand when a great storm comes. When water goes rushing down a river, what happens to that sand? Well, it gets carried away by that water. It doesn't stay in the same place. It's not stable. It's not stable when washing water can go by. So what happens is when the storms come and that water goes rushing by that house that the foolish man built, what's underneath that house falls away and that house crumbles. It can't stand. That man can't live in that house anymore. What probably happens to that house is it crumbles before his very eyes so that the roof is lying flat on the ground and maybe even carried away by that rushing river. What's the problem? The problem is the foundation. Now, what does this sand signify here in the text? Well, you can only understand that in contrast to the other foundation, that rock foundation. That rock foundation upon which the wise man builds is Jesus Christ. We know that. The Scriptures are clear in that. We sang of that idea tonight. Versifications of Psalm 62, versification of Psalm 40 as well, speak of that idea as God is the rock of our salvation in Jesus Christ. The New Testament makes that very clear that Jesus Christ is that solid foundation of the church and of His people. We read of that, first of all, in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 20. It says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." That means the Word of God as it's brought through those men. "Jesus Christ Himself being the chief corner stone." He's the rock upon which members of the church build their lives. You have that idea as well in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. "For other foundation could no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the rock. He is that solid foundation. And this parable itself then calls our attention to Jesus Christ. Well, then what's the sand in contrast to the rock? The sand is really anything else upon which a man builds his life. The sand is a humanistic foundation. The sand refers to a man building his life on his own dreams and desires. It refers to a man building his life on false doctrines and teachings that are completely unstable. It refers to the weak and empty foundation of worldly and earthly pursuits of riches and success and all that the world has to offer. That's the same. Humanistic foundations that are no foundations. In contrast to that, Jesus teaches that there is only one foundation that is rock solid. And that one foundation is what we heard tonight in the confession of these young adults. That only foundation is the rock, Jesus Christ. For He is the rock of our salvation. But let's understand this rightly. Building our lives on the rock, Jesus Christ, is not our making some decision for Christ and then going forward in life. That's not it. But instead, building on the rock who is Jesus Christ is the activity of faith. It's first of all the acknowledging and confessing that I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my solid foundation. I'm saved by Him. His righteousness is my righteousness. I have citizenship in the kingdom because of His perfect work. And He has worked in my heart and given me life so that I now build my life on the basis of what He has done for me. So this building is an activity of faith. It's the activity of living out of what we have and what we are in Jesus Christ. It's living in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Is that the way you are living your lives? You see, it's always connected to God's sovereign grace. It's always connected to what Jesus Christ has done. It's living in the knowledge of what Christ has done in my life, day by day and moment by moment. And the emphasis of the text is that Jesus Christ and His truth is the only foundation of life. Another way for us to put this is that what we have before us is a Reformed, biblical worldview. How do I, as a child of God, live in this world? And I live in this world by living out of what I am in Christ and living by what Christ calls me to do in His Word. Beloved, this is so important for us to understand tonight. I cannot emphasize enough the urgency of this, because the world in which we live today urges us to build our lives on sand. We often don't see it that way, maybe. But the world today says, build your life on sand. And the sand that it encourages to build on is the sand of the things and the activities of this world. Satan would have us believe, and the world would have us to believe as well, as long as you're in church on Sunday, and you're in catechism class on Monday, and you have some daily devotional time, that in certain areas of your life, it doesn't matter so much how you live. That's the lie of Satan, and to live that way is to build a certain part of your life upon sinking sand that will be washed away. That can happen within the church. So that a man on the surface confesses the truth of the Word of God, he goes to church regularly, or the same could be true for a woman, and thinks that God will bless him or her, while at the very same time, much of his life is built on sand, or maybe the entirety of his life is built upon sand. We truly have to examine ourselves tonight. What are we building our lives on? Are you building your life on the sand of the things of this world and the thinkings of this world? Or are you building your life on the truth of Jesus Christ? For He is the true rock. The man who is wise builds his life on that true rock. What does that mean for life? How is that carried out? Well, it's following His revealed will. It's following what He says. It's following what He says in the decisions that I make. It's following what He says in my response to other people, especially when they sin against me. It's following what He says for me in the different areas of my life. It's following what He says concerning the language that comes out of my mouth. It's following what He says when I'm listening to music, when I turn the television on, when I turn the computer on, whatever it may be. It's following what the revealed will of Jesus Christ says. And the revealed will is right here in His Word. It's living to honor and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a true confession of faith. Is that what we're living? Are we building our lives on Him or on the sand? Here's where we see how important it is. We see how important this is on our lives when the storms come. And the storms will come, if they haven't already. That's an important part of the text. Here's where the foundation is exposed, and the difference between the two houses and the two builders is exposed when the storms come. The rain falls, the wind blows, the floods rise. That small creek becomes a raging river, and torrents of water come sweeping down that river. What happens to those two houses? Well, the house built in the sand is destroyed, of course. The house that's built on the solid foundation of the rock, it stands. That speaks to us tonight. For every hearer of God's word, the storms will come. There will come storms in your life. The storms of suffering, and sickness, and in disease. The storms of death, as some of you know very well. That very hard storm when someone is suddenly taken from your life. The storms of financial struggles. The storms of having to make certain decisions and not knowing exactly what God's will is for our lives in those decisions. The storms that can come in our homes and in our families because sin is there. And then these storms erupt in our homes and in our lives. There are the storms when other people hurt us by what they say and by what they do. We've all been hurt by other people. Those are storms that come into our lives as well. But what happens when these storms come? Well, for the one who builds his house on the sand, when the storm comes, they're swept away. That comes out in a very real way in a man's life. When the storm comes, they respond to it in a wrong way. They don't look at the sovereignty of God. They don't consider that this is for their good. They're angry. They're angry about it. They despair. They worry. They fear. They try to cope in humanistic ways. They try to cope with the things of this earth. They look for stability in their lives and can find none because they're not looking to the one solid foundation that there is in all of life. Here's where we need to look. Where in our lives do we grow worried? Where are we responding in the wrong way, in a way that's contrary to the Word of God, that indicates that in that part of our lives we're not building on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ and what He says in His Word? But for those who build their lives on Jesus Christ, there is a firm foundation. When they face the storms of life, and they will face them, we all will face them, they look to the sovereign God in the assurance of His rule and His love. And because they look to God and consider then how God will have them to respond, they understand that they're immovable during these storms because the storms cannot remove the solid foundation. The sand will be swept away. All the things of this earth will be swept away. They may be taken away, but one thing cannot change. My foundation is immovable. Jesus Christ cannot be taken away, and I cannot be taken away from Him. Our salvation and our life with God are immovable. Let's be clear tonight. We said earlier that we have to hold on to this important truth. Remember what that was? The house is only as strong as its foundation. That's true for our lives. In our lives spiritually, we're only as strong as our foundation. The focus is on Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the solid foundation of our lives. This is what guides us in all of life. His rule and His love and what He says. But there's something more to those storms of which the text speaks. The seriousness and urgency of this Word of God is accelerated when we understand that. there's a final result. When the text here speaks about those storms that come, it's not just talking about the storms of this life. But it's also speaking to us about the judgment day that is to come. When all will see Jesus face to face. You see, the foolish builder does not consider this at all. That's the furthest thing from his mind. It's not on his radar at all. But the reality is for the foolish builder who builds his life upon the sand, there is complete destruction. The text says, great was the fall of it. Picture in your own minds, you've probably all seen the pictures at certain times, when floods have come on the West Coast, and there are those homes that were built up on high cliffs. But because of the rains that came, there were mudslides, and then houses were actually teetering on the edge, right along the coast, right on the ocean. And some of those houses, you've maybe seen the pictures before, fell down. That's the idea here that you have in the text, but now we have to understand that spiritually. In the end, that's talking about the destruction that will come for those, even within the church, who build their lives on sand and do not know and confess and live out of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the great danger. That's the great warning here. Where you're building your life on sand, the Word of God says, repent of that then. Turn from that. And build, by the grace of God, your life on the rock, Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, in the judgment day, when there is that wrath of God for those who are wicked, we are built in that day too on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And understand what that means. In the judgment day, there's not destruction for me and not destruction for God's people. Why? Not because of something we did in building on that foundation. It's all about the foundation, you see. In the judgment day, that's true too. It's all about the foundation. It's all about Christ. We don't go into the judgment day saying, well, I built on Jesus Christ. I've earned it. I have a right to it. It's because of Jesus Christ that I have the right to it. He's my Savior. I build my life on that solid foundation because He's set me on that foundation. And He's given me the life that's lived out of that foundation. It's all His work. He's paid for my sins and given me that life. And so the point for us tonight is this. We're encouraged to live Christ-centered lives. The wise builder, the builder who builds his life on the foundation of Jesus Christ lives a life that is completely focused on Christ. We heard it this morning. That's what heaven's all about. The focus is on Christ. So also that's what our lives must be about. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, these three young adults have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ. Essentially, they've confessed, we're on that solid foundation. God's put us on that solid foundation. We will live our lives building on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ. That's been their confession. May God preserve them in that. But as we heard it tonight, that's our confession too. This is where Christ has placed me. This is the wonderful, immovable foundation I have. And now my desire in knowing that is to live my life by the revealed will of Jesus Christ and to serve and glorify Him in this life and in the life to come. May God give us grace to be those wise builders who build on that only solid foundation. Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for forgiveness where we have not built on that solid foundation and where we have built upon sinking sand. Show us where we do that And give us grace to build the entirety of our lives and all of our decisions upon that solid rock of Jesus Christ. We cannot do this in our own strength, Father. We depend upon Thee. And we give thanks for that solid rock, our only foundation, Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray. Amen.